Today, the church celebrates the life and ministry of St. Peter Claver, a 17th century Jesuit priest. You might wonder why someone who died more than 350 years ago should draw our attention today. Well, believe it or not, Claver's life, ministry, and values resonate as much or more with our time and place as they did with his own. In the United States today, there are more than 100 churches named for Peter Claver. Almost all of them are African-American parishes, and understandably so, because ministry among Africans was the focus of Claver's apostolic activity. Claver was born in Spain in 1580 and first met the Jesuits as a university student. Shortly after entering the Jesuit order, Claver became friends with one of the older Jesuit lay brothers working at the seminary, Alfonso Rodriguez. It was Rodriguez who first aroused Claver's interest in working in the new world of Spanish America. Thus it was that in 1610, Claver landed in Cartagena, Colombia. He was assigned by his provincial superior to partner with another Jesuit, Alonso de Sandoval, who had already been working with enslaved Africans for more than 40 years. Claver was so moved by Sandoval and his compassionate work with those abused women and men that he determined to make it his life's work too. As is well known now, the Middle Passage, that treacherous odyssey across the Atlantic from Africa to the Americas, lasted several months, and the conditions aboard the slave ships were indescribably foul and inhuman. The slaves were shackled to one another day and night and were given only subsistence rations of food and water. Human waste smeared the floor of their hold, and disease was rampant. It is estimated that as many as a third of the slaves died in transit during each trip. A contemporary account describes how, when a slave ship arrived in Cartagena's port, Claver raced out in his own small boat to meet the ship, bringing medicine, fruit, cakes, brandy, and tobacco for the enslaved peoples. Because he did not know the African languages of the slaves, he enlisted the aid of several other Africans, themselves enslaved, to translate for him. He always insisted on first addressing the physical needs of the slaves, saying, "We must speak to them with our hands before we try to speak to them with our lips." When the time came for him to pronounce his final vows as a Jesuit, Claver signed his vow document with the words, "Petrus Claver, Ethiopum semper servus," Peter Claver, slave of Africans forever. As might be imagined, Claver's work met with mixed responses among the Spaniards living in Cartagena. Some generously supported his work by contributing food, clothing, and money. Others, scorning Claver's interference, complained to Jesuit and church authorities about his meddling and refused even to enter the church where he said Mass. Despite this opposition, Claver persevered in his ministry to the newly arrived enslaved Africans for the next 38 years, until his death in 1654. The Church defines a saint as an ordinary human person who earnestly strives to follow the pattern of life exemplified by Jesus in the Gospels, and to follow that pattern even to an heroic degree. There's no doubt that Claver's unbounded compassion for a people so mistreated and exploited by others makes him one of the great saints of the Society of Jesus. In years gone by, claiming Peter Claver as one of our own would fill us Jesuits with justifiable pride. The appalling revelations of recent years, however, make us more hesitant to claim any deep spiritual kinship with him. Since 2015, when the slaveholding history of the Maryland Jesuits and of Georgetown University was more fully disclosed, we have had to acknowledge with shame our own deplorable complicity in slavery. Today, of course, there is greater awareness that the Society of Jesus relied on the labor of enslaved people globally almost from its foundation, even in Colombia at the very time that Peter Claver carried out his ministry. Here in the United States, the involuntary labor of enslaved people helped to establish, expand, and sustain Jesuit missionary efforts and educational institutions until the very abolition of slavery in 1865. Today, we Jesuits deeply regret our participation in this evil institution. No one today can reconcile those earlier actions with the current teaching of the Church or with our apostolic engagements as Jesuits. Nevertheless, they are an undeniable part of our history. Through a relatively new program, the Slavery, History, Memory, and Reconciliation Project, we Jesuits have committed ourselves to admitting the enduring legacy of Jesuit slaveholding. With full deliberation, we say the enduring legacy, because as Jesuit Fred Kammer reminds us, slavery was just the first stage, the original sin in our nation's history of racism and racial injustice. It was followed by a century of legal segregation, and now a half century more of entrenched inequality that truly are the legacies of slavery and racism. They are part of the history and memory that we Jesuits are called to examine. This Jesuit Slavery, History, Memory, and Reconciliation Project is intended to be a transformative process of truth-telling, reconciliation, and healing that, in conversation with the descendants of people held in bondage, acknowledges the historical wounds, seeks to repair relationships, and works within our communities to address the legacies of slavery that continue in the form of racial inequities today. We hope that together we can address the prejudice and structural racism that persist within the Society of Jesus and in our Jesuit schools and parishes, and indeed throughout the United States. On his feast day today, let's ask Peter Claver to pray heartily for us to God, that we might be given the twin graces of wisdom and integrity, wisdom to know how best to engage this process of reconciliation, and integrity to follow through. If you would like to know more about the Slavery, History, Memory, and Reconciliation Project, I append a link to the written version of this homily. May God bless you and give you health.